Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 23rd day of April. I'm your host, Paul White. We will be having our monthly meeting tonight in the Columbia, South Carolina area. This is in Chapin, South Carolina. We meet at an HOA clubhouse in Chapin. The address is on our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. We start at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We meet with this Chapin group every month. Try to do it right around the same time every month on a Friday evening. This group meets every Sunday evening, and we've been recording a special video series for their live group. If you're in the Columbia, South Carolina area, and the drive is not too far, check them out. And you can find them by going to our website and looking for where we are tonight. If you'd like more info on their group or to get hooked up with their group so you can know about their Sunday meeting, they would love to have you. And just contact us here at the DDP, and we'll give you the information you need so that you can hook up with that group, DDP at paulwhiteministries.com. Also, this Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we will be having our monthly meeting in Flowery Branch, Georgia, where I will be continuing our off-and-on-again series on Silencing the Lamb. We go back into another message on the voice of Jesus and what that voice means. I've had such a good time for 6 months or so exploring this. I think we took 1 month off from that series, did something else. But we go back in, and this time we jump into the Revelation messages to the seven churches at Asia, where let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're going to talk about that seven messages, sort of an overview of those messages and what they had to say, and pick out some key moments that I think are relevant for the church today. Should be a fantastic time. Of course, if you can't make either of those meetings, and I know most of you are nowhere near geographically where you can make those meetings, we video, audio record, all of that stuff. We'll be putting them on our website on Sundays, and we usually do that sequentially, although I do have something else in store this weekend, and I'm going to tell you about that tomorrow on the podcast. Don't miss it. All right, the book of Micah chapter 4 and chapter 5. I want to pull something from each chapter today because this is one of those that corresponds to what has been really the passion of my ministry for now about 3 years, and that was this weekly study we did in the Gospel of John. How do you get from Micah to John? Well, this is a connected set of books that we hold in our hands, we call the Bible, and they are interconnected, and they touch upon the same themes, and sometimes they reach backwards and forwards into the content of one another to really flesh out the message. And again, we go back to what we said a couple days ago. That's how Jesus taught us on the road to Emmaus. He finds the things concerning himself. In John chapter 12, I know that's not Micah. We're coming to Micah. But in John chapter 12, the people answered Jesus in verse 34. We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, the fact that in John 12:34, they recognized lifted up to mean crucified, that sort of falls on deaf ears, because the if I be lifted up, I'll draw them into me is almost always preached and taught as if we project Jesus upward, centerpiece, through our sermons and songs, then people will be drawn to him. It's not what Jesus meant at all, and it's not what the crowd thought he meant either, because they say, how can the Son of Man be lifted up if he's supposed to last forever? So for them, the phrase lifted up meant put up above the crowd and killed, lifted up on a cross, and that's exactly how Jesus would die. Now, that's a side point, honestly, because I'm not teaching John 12:34. The main point there is that they had an understanding from what they say from the law that the Christ remains forever. Well, have you ever tried to find that text? Where did they get that in John 12:34? That Christ was going to remain forever. They called that the law. Technically, the law is what we would refer to as the Mosaic Law, which isn't given until Exodus, and then is sort of codified up through Deuteronomy. But for purposes of religion, the law is most often referred to as the Pentateuch or the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy, for purposes of covenantal theology, the law is almost always called Genesis to Malachi, aka the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. And for purposes of most grace ministries, the law is always called everything that happened up until the cross. So it really depends on how you categorize it. Contextually, how the readers and writers of that world categorized it was anything that existed in what we might call Jewish writings, even stuff that doesn't end up in our canon, they most often considered the law. It was a broad brush statement to include most everything that had come before them. So when they say it's in the law, don't lose yourself in your interpretation of what that means, being, say, Moses. Instead, it's Micah. The John 12:34, "How shall the Christ remain forever?" they pull from Micah chapter 4, verse 7. "I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation, so the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever." And this is the closest we get in the Old Testament canon to being able to interpret John 12:34. So where was the idea that the Christ would remain forever? It was right there in our text from Micah, this idea that once he began to reign, he would reign forever. My question to you is, were they wrong? And the answer's tricky. The answer's tricky because in his advent, Jesus, the Son of Man, did not reign, much less reign forever. But they weren't wrong, because to say they are wrong about the Christ reigning forever would mean that Micah chapter 4, verse 7 is wrong. This comes down to how we see the scriptures and how we interpret it, and it's not some new phenomenon. Hey, you need to learn how to interpret the Bible. No, that's always been the issue. What they were doing was taking a text that dripped with deep metaphor, with deep meaning, with deep prophecy. You're on a mountain, swords and spears being beaten into plowshares and prune hooks. Everyone sitting under his own vine and his own fig. Everyone can worship their own God, but we worship ours. And the Christ, he that reigns over them reigns forever. And they were taking that as, hey, if he's going to reign, Old Testament says he must reign forever. And they were thinking in natural terms. They were thinking when he reigns, he will reign in the natural. There's not a lot different in the way people think now in the way they were thinking then. We think in some ways we're so much smarter. But if you go into the average church and ask them about these kind of prophecies, they're going to tell you all this stuff's literally going to happen, that it's going to be in the physical realm. That's exactly what the people in Jesus' day thought. And so they were looking at the right verse. They were interpreting it in the wrong way. Jesus wasn't going to reign forever on the earth naturally, but as the risen Christ, he reigns forever in the hearts of men. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace and the fairest of 10,000. And he is that to everyone who believes. And to those who believe, he gives them the right to call themselves the sons of God. So this is not that unusual. Okay, I wanted to get into a little bit in chapter 5. We're going to save it for tomorrow because, hey, we got time. One verse on one podcast. We've done it before. We may do it again tomorrow. I do know that tomorrow we're going to introduce the Sunday sermon. I'm really excited about it. It's been a fun journey to get to this one tomorrow. And I'll tell you all about it. We'll see you then. God bless.